This show was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kanepes, Hawke's Bay's community access radio station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for enabling us to put Hawke's Bay voices on air.
Good morning, Andrew Austin here, and sorry about that. We've had some technical difficulties, but we were just playing a recording of an old show. Welcome to my show, Austin On Air, right here on Radio Kidnappers. We live now. Radio Kidnappers, as you know, is the voice of Hawke's Bay. I'm phoning into the studio today, and my guest on the line is Richard Barge, who is the chair of the New Zealand Hemp Industries Association. Kia ora, Richard, and welcome to the show.
Kia ora, and thank you very much for having me and the opportunity to have a chat.
No, that sounds good. Good to speak to you. So, Richard, for those of for those who don't know what hemp is and what its relationship is to cannabis, can you tell us?
Absolutely. So that's a great way to start the conversation, in the sense to get the elephant out of the room. Industrial hemp, which is what we're talking about, is cannabis, but it doesn't have any of the psychotropic drug that's associated with recreational use. So that's a cannabinoid called THC, which a lot of your listeners would have heard about. And we're very low in THC. By law, our approved varieties have to have less than 0.35% THC. So, and most of them have nowhere near that. So we are an arable crop or a horticultural crop, not a drug crop.
But it is still, in some places, classed as a drug, is it?
No. In all cases, industrial hemp under the United Nations Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs, Article 28.2, states that cannabis grown for industrial purposes, i.e. industrial hemp, is absolutely legal. So we have a regulatory framework in New Zealand that was established in 2006 to allow the Ministry of Health to license industrial hemp growers.
I was going to ask you how long it's been legal for in New Zealand.
So as industrial hemp, since 2006, the regulations came out, and that was following some trials that we had from 2000 to 2005.
Are they quite strict regulations?
They are, yes. You know, you're only allowed to grow approved varieties under a general license. So, you know, that they are, you know, the Ministry of Health does have a lot of control over who gets the licenses. But the application process is quite straightforward. And there is some compliance issues, for sure. We have to do an annual return as part of our license each year. But it's not so arduous and can be achieved quite easily.
So tell us about the New Zealand Hemp Industries Association. What are you and who do you represent?
Right, so we were created as an incorporated non-profit society in 1997, and we represent the four sort of corners of the industry, being the farmers, which underpin everything we do, and then the food, fibre and health sectors, which we are involved in, because there's many commercial opportunities from the crop. And if we looked at full plant utilisation, then all parts of the plant can be used in that food, fibre and health industry. So it's quite an exciting opportunity for a wide range of industries to get involved and start using industrial hemp raw materials and ingredients in their business plans.
Now, you mentioned that in the 90s you were formed, but the framework and that only came about in 2000. What were you doing in those ensuing years?
Well, in 97, when it was actually formed as a legal entity, the government had a moratorium on talking about anything to do with cannabis. So we couldn't even have a conversation about our low THC industrial hemp at that time. So we went about producing a little booklet, actually, called The 5-Minute Guide to Industrial Hemp, and sent it to all the MPs. And we had MPs at the time that were quite open to, you know, new and innovative ideas and could see the potential for the economic development in rural and regional New Zealand. and supported industrial hemp to have a bit of a conversation, and that resulted in the ability to the Ministry of Health to create a temporary framework to allow the trials to begin in 2000. And they were very concerned about crop losses and things, and none of their concerns came up during the 4 or 5 years of trials, and that's why we've got the industrial hemp regulations in 2006. So it took a while to work through the process, but it did allow us to get started get underway. And then the big breakthrough occurred for the industry in 2018 when we finally got hemp seed acknowledged as a human food, which really helped the industry to scale up, because we were no longer just selling hemp seed oil. We could now sell hemp hearts and protein powders into that human food market.
Well, we'll get on to that in a little while, but just this was really, this industry was really built on sort of belief and faith in that, if you like, because there was no guarantee that that MPs and that we're going to legislate for it.
Correct, yes. I mean, the MPs and the regulatory framework is a bit of a bugbear to the industry, because we're still working through some of the issues that we have about accessing that full plant utilisation. But and you'll hear it a lot in the hemp industry, this sort of chicken and egg scenario. How can we supply into a large manufacturer if we don't have continuity of supply? How can we create the supply if we don't have the manufacturer to buy the product? So it's been a bit of a balancing act, but it's starting to really gain some momentum based on that food. And in the last year, in 2021, a hemp fibre processing line was put in by New Zealand Natural Fibres down in Christchurch. So that's opened up the fibre industry. And you know, that leaves that health market, which is a real potential export winner, especially for places like Hawke's Bay.
Okay, that sounds interesting. So what does the hemp industry look like?
Well, it's mainly grown because of the grain that is used in the food industry. It's mainly grown in that grain belt around the Ashburton area, Canterbury, South Canterbury, because they have the infrastructure to be able to process the seeds and harvest the seeds and that sort of thing. That said, though, there is a couple of really interesting companies in the Bay doing it. Kanapu have been involved for a number of years growing hemp seed for their oil products. And so, you know, it's not just the South Island. The Bay can be a big part of that as well.
So you mentioned oils and powders and things like that. You don't have to list the whole lot, but what products can be made from hemp? Just the highlights, if there's so many.
Just the highlights, yes. Well, that's the opportunity and the problem, because where to concentrate. But from a seed or a food point of view, there's all those oil products. There's the protein powder and the hemp hulls and hearts. But there's all sorts of other things to use. That oil could be used as an industrial oil. So you could be staining wood and using it as a paint. It could be used in detergents. If we look at the fibre side, the really exciting opportunities in the fibre industry relate to the hempcrete, which is a form of construction material. So we're all aware that we've got a bit of a housing crisis and things like that, and building material shortages, and we really need to build up our resilient supply chains, and industrial hemp fiber has a big role to play in that construction industry. If we look at some more, that could include insulation as well, which are quite semi-low tech, and if we go to the high-tech end of the fiber, then you're starting to get involved in, you know, components and batteries, 3D printing filaments, all sorts of composite and materials that could be as, you know, strong as fiberglass and carbon fiber, but at a lighter weight. And of course, all these raw materials are sustainable as well. And then, you know, getting into that health market, you've got the cosmetics and balms and all sorts of lotions and things that could be used in that health and well-being market as well. And some of these have some massive export potential into global niche markets that that really are starting to become very much aware of the great qualities of industrial hemp, and therefore the products that are being made from it are really of interest. If we go back to fibre again, I'll just touch on the other uses being, you know, textile uses. That could be technical textiles for filters and geotextiles, this type of thing that you see on the side of the roads. But it could also be at a higher value, the apparel and clothing and soft furnishings. And then you've got the paper that you could be making. And, of course, all of this could be used to be, you know, generate biofuels and renewable energy.
Now, you've mentioned a lot. The way you've been speaking, it's like hemp is the solution to all the world's problems. But how much of this is just sort of ideas that may or may not come about, or are all the products you've mentioned being manufactured somewhere in the world?
All the products I've mentioned are being manufactured somewhere in the world. In the past, you know, 100 years ago, they were definitely being manufactured. That's, you know, the sails on the sailing ships, the uniforms they wore, you know, a lot of that was made from hemp fabrics, the rope and the cordage on those boats. So we've got a historic perspective as well. And there's a video of Henry Ford who produced a plastic car, which was made out of hemp and soya and other agricultural raw materials. And, you know, that was in the early 1900s that they were producing, you know, these types of composite materials. And at that time, obviously, we pivoted into using fossil fuels more than renewable sort of crops and agricultural byproducts to provide the same raw materials. So it's not something new in the sense that we could do it back in the 1900s, make cellophane and all sorts of things. So why can't we do it now? But it is a matter of scale, though, because we can't necessarily produce enough for some of the bigger markets who need continuity of supply. So that's back to that chicken and egg scenario. You know, we need to scale up our production to meet the demands of those end users and big volume big volume products that require a significant amount of industrial hemp to be grown and then processed. And, you know, we just lack that processing infrastructure. So as soon as we get the processing infrastructure, then we'll attract the businesses to use the raw materials and ingredients that we can produce. But how do we get people to invest in the infrastructure when the market isn't quite there? So you're right, we're in this sort of transition phase. And we'll all look back in 10 years' time and say, what was all the fuss about? Gosh, we're really happy to have this industry in New Zealand, because it's not only great for all those products that we mentioned, but we could talk about the benefits of actually growing industrial hemp.
So for the skeptics out there, why is hemp a better alternative to other products?
Well, if we take aside the whole sustainable nature of producing annual crops in a rotation, so you can use your land for other reasons and other crops as well, it's also about the inherent qualities of the fibre. So you've got this raw material that is very, very strong, nature's strongest fibre. It's naturally antibacterial, antistatic, antimicrobial, antifungarial. You know, these qualities mean that it should be used in all sorts of applications. You know, it could be you're talking about linen in your hospitals. You could be talking about bandages, female sanitary products, all these things that require, you know, clean raw materials, industrial hemp fibre in that case, could really be a great solution for that. With regard to the seed and the nutritional value as a food, it just has an amazing balance of essential fatty acids that, in the sense of omega-3 and 6, is in a perfect ratio for human consumption. So it really does work, and it fits well with our needs. And as people, you know, become more aware of the story behind their products and the need for sustainability, they're going to be looking for these type of end users that are producing that product and supporting those industries. So, yes, it's a bit of a pivot away, but going back to Henry Ford again, you know, what a famous quote he made was, anything you can make from hydrocarbons, you can make from carbohydrates. So it's just a new way of looking at a raw material for industry.
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes to go, and we've got quite a few questions I still want to get through. How much does the hemp industry add to the New Zealand economy now, at this stage?
Okay, so that's an interesting question in the sense that it probably is about sort of a $3 to $5 million industry. The MPI had a report done by Sapia facilitating growth in the New Zealand hemp industry, and out of all the scenarios that they had, which range from 11 million to 774 million by 2030, they picked scenario two that had a prediction that the industry would be worth $30 million by 2030. That's a lot less than the lofty aspirations that the hemp industry itself has, whereby we think that it could be a $2 billion industry by 2030, but that would be set on the premise that this health industry really opened up.
Yeah. Is there a stigma against hemp because people think it's the same as regular cannabis?
Yeah, well, it's getting a lot better. You know, back in the 1990s and early 2000s, there was a lot more people, you know, that would joke with you at the market saying, you know, can I smoke that hat and that sort of thing. That doesn't happen as much now. So, and that's probably due to the medicinal cannabis people highlighting the need and the constructive use of it in that space. And that's helped to destigmatize it. But you're right, we do have a massive branding issue as an industry because of that connotation with recreational cannabis use. And, you know, we do need to change the narrative there.
Which is one of the reasons for the...
It is getting better, and these types of events like the Industrial Hemp Discovery and Investment Tour that we're involved in 2022, they help to build up that reputation. And it's been really pleasing to be working with, you know, the economic development agencies and the R&D ecosystem, all the universities, the Crown Research Institutes. They're all very supportive of the opportunities that industrial hemp has because of that wide range of applications that we discussed. Yeah. So it's
so
just a matter of time. For some, when they hear of industrial hemp and then they think about the word hemp and they think about cordage and sales and then they make the connection to cannabis, often the next word out of their mind is bad. Yeah, so we do have a branding issue there.
So you got a meeting today in Hawke's Bay?
Yep, this evening in Havelock North Function Centre, the Lantern Gallery. The doors will open about 7 o'clock and we'll get started at 7:30. So if any of your listeners would like to book a ticket for that, nzhia.com is probably the easiest way to get there. You can click on the front landing page of our website and get to the page describing all the events that we're having across the country. Select the Hastings one and that'll take you to a Humanitex link. So we've got it in a few places. You might see it pop up on the radio or on the newspapers that you'll be reading today. So we're hoping to get a full house along to hear the good news story.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a few questions now related to medical cannabis and recreational cannabis, and you've established that these are different from hemp, industrial hemp, but I'm sure you've got an opinion anyway. So were you pleased when medical cannabis was made legal in 2020?
Of course. And so were a lot of patients and a lot of people that had been wanting to get into that industry for a number of years had the opportunity to really get underway. And they've, you know, the medicinal cannabis industry has attracted a lot of interest and a lot of money. And it's developed some really great infrastructure in the sense that to produce medicinal cannabis, you've got to be GMP accredited, which is good manufacturing practices. So all of those sites where they're going further than just growing are actually really highly qualified to produce these products. And we're hoping from an industrial hemp point of view that some of that capacity might be able to be applied to making more health products as opposed to medicinal products, so we can use that accreditation on the marketing material for when you're entering overseas niche markets. You know, a lot of those jurisdictions have a requirement that the products that are going in there have to be well made, and you can't get any better control environment and a compliance environment than a medicinal cannabis operation for that production. So, you know, there's some areas where there's a bit of crossover. We used to say food, fiber, and medicine, but because the medicinal cannabis people have now got their own framework to be able to do that, which covers both high and low THC, and of course the other cannabinoid that people possibly, your listeners, will be aware of, the CBD, then you know, we changed our name from food, fiber, medicine to food, fiber, health, because we thought that the health and well-being industry was a lot wider than just the medicinal, which is quite narrow. You know, you've got to do clinical trials of your medicine, you've got to make it to a very high standard, as I've described. And, you know, if you're making claims, you've got, you know, medical claims, then you've got to be a medicine. Whereas if you're making a natural health product or in fact, a functional food or a nutraceutical, then you're not making medical claims, but you are producing a product that is well sought after by the market. And they're pretty savvy, the consumers, at this point, especially around some of the products that they're very interested in. And so it's an exciting compliment between what the industry can achieve in that health space.
We've literally got a minute to
turn left.
Sorry to cut in there. But now, referendum was held in 2020 where New Zealanders rejected the idea of legalising the sale, use, possession and production of recreational cannabis. Do you think it should be legal?
Well, everybody would have a personal opinion on that. From the NZHOA's point of view, we're apolitical, so we're not really interested in, you know, the recreational use of industrial hemp. We're all about the low THC. That said, though, it was a missed opportunity because had it gone through, then that would have put pressure on the government to have a really grown-up conversation around all parts of the industry, and that would have helped us to really differentiate ourselves as just an arable crop, because we've got no risk of diversion because no one's interested in it from a drug point of view, and then they could control what they wanted to control, which is the THC, and that would have involved the medical and recreational people. So, you know, it's a missed opportunity for the industry because, in my opinion, it would have helped us to differentiate ourselves yet again that we're low THC industrial hemp.
So we'll give one more plug for your meeting tonight, Havelock North Function Centre, at doors open 7 p.m. did you say?
7 p.m. yep, for a 7:30 kickoff.
Yeah, okay, great. Good luck with that, Richard Barge. Thank you for coming on Austin on Air this morning, and all the best with your tour.
Thank you very much, and a great opportunity. I really appreciate the opportunity to come along and have a chat about industrial hemp.
They're all good. And to you, the listener, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This show was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kanepas, Hawke's Bay's community access radio station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for enabling us to put Hawke's Bay voices on air.